It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Hold on to your nipples.
Holy smokes!
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. And luckily for you, old dirty and blonde tips bomber, and T-Mail, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest for you. And the latest is we are here live on a Football Friday at Home Run Dugout here in Katy, presented by Pepsi. Make some noise out here. Let the people know it's a party out here. We got winners. We got people winning prizes. Still have a gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors to hook people up with. That'll be happening in the 5 o'clock hour. But we're having fun out here, even though the mood is tough right now with the issue last night, Clint. And listen, we've talked about it. And it was an awful night last night as the Texans, they lost to the Jets last night. C.J. Stroud sacked a career high 8 times and hit 11 times in the 21-13 loss at MetLife Stadium. And Clint, that's the big deal right now coming into it. And we talked about, was crisis the right word to use? They are most definitely at a crisis, Clint. Not just with their offensive line, but their young quarterback. The one thing that you didn't want to see, the one thing, Clint, that I didn't think we would see is, you know, any steps back from your young quarterback, C.J. Stroud, Clint, and the sacks and the pressures. They're at a crisis moment right now, and they have got to do something to fix it because it is clearly affecting the entirety of the team, the offense, and your young quarterback.
Yeah, the problem is they got to do a ton to fix it, and that's just been the reality the whole time. I mean, every time we hear somebody in the organization say it's all fixable, I've reminded everybody, no, it's not.
Yeah, you've pushed against that right from the jump.
Yeah, it's not, and so but that is what they've created, is that it's this fixable, easily fixable problem. And so why are you not fixing it? Well, look, I mean, the reality of it is it's not easy. The reality of it is man, there are some major issues, and it's layered, and so it's going to take a little while. I think at this point, after watching what we watched, all we can hope for as fans is that sooner rather than later we start seeing some kind of adjustment. You know, again, whether that adjustment is successful or not is irrelevant, but some level of a different approach to offensive football than just keep calling the same stuff and hope C.J. Stroud can make a throw here or there or can escape and go make a play. So that's where we're at, and it's unfortunate, but it ain't going to be fixed in 1 week, and you got Detroit coming to town. That's the crisis aspect of this is – the same problem was magnified and even worse again, and now you're in the meat of the schedule where you got some serious, serious football teams and quarterbacks that you got to play. And so, you know, how do you survive that? Not only survive it, how do you get better throughout? How do you get better during, you know, those games that you got to play?
And it's a clear blueprint, Clint. And we talked about it weeks ago with Dan Orlovsky, and I think it started with the Packer game. It is a clear blueprint for teams that are going against the Texans, and it is affecting everything in this offense. This is an offense that you were thinking like, hell yeah, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. with the guys they have, right? And Nico Collins is coming back, Clint, and I don't know how confident people are right now that this offense is going to get anywhere close to where the expectations were, even with him returning to the lineup, just because the blueprint is out and the Texans have shown week in and week out they know what they're going to do to him. All the teams are doing it. And, I mean, I heard Laremy Tunsil. He said it in the postgame. Look, it is they're overloading the side, and then they're doing twists and stunts. It's the same thing every week is what Laremy Tunsil said. And teams are going to keep doing it. These defensive coordinators are even better with the tape, and they're going to face some better ones down the stretch. And, I mean, that's the part was they've got to fix it, and a blueprint is out. And people, everybody knows exactly how to handle it to at least stifle you a bit. And it clearly affects CJ. It clearly affects the rest of the team. And they just aren't getting how to fix it right now. And now you've lost some players, and you know, that walks right into the injury news, Clint, of Kenyon Green. Dislocated his left shoulder and will be placed on IR and is going to miss the remainder of the season. He missed last year, if you remember, with a torn labrum. This is going to end. That injury is going to end his season after 8 weeks this year, Clint. So obviously, clearly moves are going to be made from a personnel standpoint. But even with that, Clint, we saw it yesterday. They still struggled with being able to handle these stunts and these twists, even when Kendrick Green came in for Kenyon Green. So that's the part that is really, really concerning is teams all know what to do. Teams keep doing it, and you don't seem to have a single answer at all for it.
That's the scary part. We now have offensive linemen, which I agree wholeheartedly with, by the way, just talking to the media of, man, we know what's coming. They're going to overload one side. They're going to widen everybody out, and they know that we're going to try to slide that direction, and we can't slide fast enough because the harder we slide, the weaker our protection gets, and then they just run through us like mess through a goose. And he's telling you what the problems are. The fact that you've got an NFL football team that is as well coached as they are and have been, and you've got as much invested in this offensive line as damn near anybody in the league, and you can't figure out the simple answers. Again, whether you execute them or not is irrelevant, but you can't figure out how to simply get a plan and put your best foot forward in executing that plan. There's too much money invested in this offensive line for that to be the issue.
Absolutely. Way too much money and what they've done in the draft, getting these guys in the first and the second round. They drafted Titus Howard in the first round and paid him a second contract. They drafted Juice and moved up to go get him in the second round. And then they drafted Kenyon Green, who's going to be out for the season. So that's the latest there injury-wise. Kenyon out for the season with that dislocated shoulder. And we'll see what the next moves are. We know they've got to make a move. We'll see what the next moves are.
That is, Ron, the interesting thing about Kenyon Green being injured, and you never like to see anybody get injured, but now you know that D'Amico and Bobby are going to move off of the Kenyon Green situation, whether Jarrett Patterson is healthy or not. You move on from that. Now Kendrick Green is the answer. And what I did like about Kendrick Green yesterday is when you talk about what the Texans have done, and I believe, been saying this for weeks as well, and I think they're doing a lot more of it, but the downhill stuff, the toss zone, the toss sweep stuff seems to be few and far between. Most of the zone runs are downhill inside zone, and most of the run is downhill, some kind of G scheme that they're running as well. So with that said, the athletic ability of Kendrick Green was really on display yesterday of him pulling and kicking, pulling and leading up in the hole. That was on display last night, I think, multiple times, where he was not just good but really good. His athletic ability is blatantly obvious, right? So there are, and he's a lot more active and a lot more assertive, if you will, a lot more under control, a lot more sure of what he's doing than what Kenyon Green was. So I think there's a real way that Kendrick Green makes his football team better than Kenyon Green being out there.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, it improved. It did look better the second time that in as many weeks that Kenyon Green comes out, his replacement did look better. We'll continue to discuss this loss and hopefully turn the page on him after this weekend.
5 o'clock fire.
Turn the page on this game, not on the Texans. Not on the Texans. No, let me get that right. All right. Listen, a little good that happened last night. The Houston Rockets, they looked good again. They have played well here of late. They win 108-102 on the road in Dallas against Luka and Kyrie and Klay Thompson. They go and win that game. Clint, they were dominating that game. They were up 23 late in that game before the Mavericks made a really, really hard push at the end. But I think the part that I'm becoming to get impressed with, and I would urge anybody listening that haven't started with the Rockets yet, that toughness element, the element of what Udoka is trying to implement, you're seeing it, and you're seeing it more and more. This team does look and feel different now this year, including, and I think it starts with their star, Jalen Green, has looked like an all-star, is playing like an all-star in the early goings, and especially late in games. Clint, that's where I'm seeing the maturity from him. Late in games, they're finishing off games. This has been happening often during this season. He finished off San Antonio earlier this year in a game where in the second half and in the fourth quarter, he made the big plays, and he did it again last night. But ultimately, the toughness that Udoka and the grittiness he is trying to instill, and the intelligence in the fourth quarter when the moments matter, you're starting to see that more with the Rockets.
You got me talked into checking it out.
I'm telling you, go check it out, baby. You will. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. I think so.
I won't be disappointed now.
We're starting to see roles also being separated. It looks like Jalen Green is sliding into that one role, and it looks like Sengun is sliding into that two role, which I think is making sense. Those two are playing better. That was the issue. They couldn't, and they can't play on the court together.
Yeah.
They're. It seems like they're accepting and understanding of their roles in this thing. So see if the Rockets can continue rolling in this thing.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
5 o'clock fire.
It's a beautiful one right there.
Oh, it's good.
All right, the Dodgers. With everything that was happening yesterday, the short show. They won their eighth championship the other night. They had their parade today. By the way, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers. If you all haven't seen him, he is getting after it. There, I would urge you, Clint, Tyler, and everybody out there, go check out the video of Dave Roberts as a background dancer to Ice Cube. I don't know how. Thanks for walking right in front of the camera, son. I don't know how I feel about him as the background dancer to Ice Cube. If you watch it, I don't know if Dave is getting it or if Dave. It's interesting, but they win it in game five as they were down 5-0, and I think it's just fair to say, Clint, the Yankees just choked that game away in the fifth inning. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it in an important game, but they win their eighth championship in five, and they went 7-6 in game five as the Yankees gave up 5 unearned runs in the fifth after leading 5-0, walking into the inning with 3 errors, and then they didn't cover first base. They also went on later to get a catcher's interference on a struggling Shohei Ohtani. Yes, they did. Catcher's interference, other struggling things. They were just awful when it came to just fundamentals of baseball in that game. This is one where you feel like, at least in game five, is this one you feel like the Yankees choked this away more than the Dodgers won it?
Oh, hell yeah. That game in particular, that's just a painful way to lose it. You know what I mean? That's not painful for me. I actually enjoyed it, to be honest with you. I know Tyler enjoyed it.
If he could close his eyes and not see the Dodgers scoring, he would have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but the fact that it was the Yankees and it all started with Garrett Cole not covering first base. No. That would have got him out of that inning, and it would have been a 5-1 or 5-0.
Poor rep of himself.
Not only would that have gotten him out of the inning, fellas, like that would have been one of the greatest ace level moments in like World Series history, right?
The bases are loaded
with nothing that you did ever. He strikes out Lux, then strikes out Ohtani, and then he gets Mookie on the man in a ground ball,
soft
to get out of it, and to get completely save the day. That would have been an amazing performance.
Yes.
And then he just like
well,
that's
alas,
the part.
It
that's
was
the part
not.
For me is that's the part for me, Clint Tyler. He ran three hard steps and then just stopped and pointed. Like I don't understand what possessed him to stop running to cover the base. But like I don't understand it.
I would have and I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of the Yankees at this point in time. I think I would rather have gotten swept in four.
Than that.
I think I would have rather than to win game four at home and game five, you've got a 5-0 lead. Think you're fixing to take this
with Garrett
back
Cole
to
on
LA,
the mound.
Garrett Cole on the bump.
And giving up nothing through the first
half. And it comes unraveled because you can't play defense. Not because they did anything special, but because you can't play defense. Like
not defense, but like easy plays.
Yes, yeah.
Like catching a ball that's hit right to you in center field or throwing a ball from the hole to the third baseman.
I think I would rather get swept in four, to be honest with you. The other thing is again, I don't want to hear – like, I don't even want – I've never been one that really subscribed to just being – like hating the Yankees because of the comments that were made. You know, it's annoying, right? But whatever. Okay, let's move on. It's not a big deal to me. Like at this point, I don't want to hear anybody in that organization shake their mouths to talk about the Astros.
They will.
Oh, I'm sure
they'll think about Daddy Stros real soon.
I'm sure they will, Tyler. But like after that, like I mean, you can't talk about anybody cheating to beat you because the Dodgers just absolutely destroyed you. I mean, reached in there and took your soul.
And then you said, no, I want to help you.
Yeah.
I want to help you. No, I don't want to destroy you. I want to help you.
I've never been one that gets too shook up about the Astro comments, and especially coming from the Yankees. But I don't want to hear them even shake their mouth to do it. I don't even want to hear it and then be able to say, oh, we're just living rent-free in their head. Like, that doesn't do anything for me. Like, I just don't want to hear it.
I mean, there were so.
I mean, that's an embarrassment.
It looks so bad at times, fellas. And I know you all gambling, and we'll get to T-Mill's best bets coming up later. If you'd have told me they had some guys on the take, I would have believed it. Some of those plays were just so bad; they were that bad that they didn't make. All right, coming up, what's the word? I got one in mind. What's the word that you would use to describe how you felt as a Texans fan last night after that game? What's the word you would use? We'll discuss what we saw last night coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Home Run Dugout in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome out here. A little Football Friday as we are live here at Home Run Dugout in Katy. And Home Run Dugout here in Katy presented by Pepsi. We have one more prize to hook somebody up with. We will do that as soon as this segment ends. So make sure you sign in. If you have not, you have a chance to win our final prize of the day. As we've had a great time here. Now, the mood is not great with that game last night, but we've had a great time here on a Football Friday. I said on the other side of the break, what's the word that comes to mind after last night's performance? I'm seeing a lot of people coming through on the 5 hour text line, 5 hour, the 5 hour energy fan text line, 5 hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans, and some of the words coming in, Clint, befuddled, confused, awakened,
embarrassed.
Sick. Embarrassed. That's a great one. Tyler's is embarrassed, frustration, is what some people are texting in. C.J. Stroud spoke to it. C.J., the quarterback, kind of spoke about, you know, what happened there. And mind you, it was on the national stage. It was in front of everybody, the only game on Thursday Night Football. This is what C.J. Stroud had to say looking at last night's game after the game.
You know, I often, you know, it's hard, you know, to just sit here right now and think about what happened because you didn't watch film yet. But, of course, you know, it's embarrassing. And, you know, to come out here on a primetime game and, you know, get embarrassed like that is never fun. And, you know, I believe, you know, we have to be better in a lot of areas. You know, and that starts with me. You know, I think there's plays I got to make, throws I got to make. You know, times I got to sit in the pocket and just trust my guys. You know, so I really point the finger at me and realize, you know, I got to be better as a football player. And you know, if we want to win, this is not the recipe for it. We got to learn how to dominate and stop learning how to, you know, just go with the flow and play in the fourth quarter. Like, we should be able to, you know, play good in the first half and then roll into the second. I think we got to have a better mindset as a whole.
Yeah, Clint, he used it. He used embarrassed twice in some form or fashion. And I think that's a good one. It was, man. You're a national TV man. This is, like, you know, many people are excited about the Texans, and the Texans have had two national TV games, and they beat the Bears, but I don't think they showed in either one of those games, you know, in their minds who they are and what they are. And to be honest, when I look at those two games, Clint, and one of them they were, you know, almost 100% strong, and the other, you know, they had some injuries. But, Clint, it is really almost, and I use almost the word surprising, Clint, that it seemed like they almost really could make mistakes to win those games or to be in those games. It almost felt like they had to play, you know, almost mistake-free to beat the Bears. And then we saw them have, you know, their issues in this game. And then it's like, hey man, we got to hit. We got to score when we need to. We can't make mistakes. We can't turnovers. Nothing. That was a bit surprising to me, Clint.
Yeah, look, even if you don't turn the football over and you don't have a bunch of penalties, and you play clean football, then you're gonna be a 500 football team. I mean, you can clean play. Stay away from the negatives, not hurt yourself. You've heard all the coach speak. If you can do those things, you can win 8-9 games. But the reality of it is you're going to bump up against football teams, whether they've got really good records, you know, like Minnesota, and like Detroit, who you're fixing to face, and just simply not making mistakes, and not having penalties, and not giving up explosives, it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be even remotely close to being enough. Again, if this is a football team, everybody wants to talk about being 500, maybe winning this piss poor decision, the division. Then
that's one thing. Yeah.
Then you're right. They're right on the path to do that. But if you want to talk about, like, legitimately being a Super Bowl contender, and the division is just an afterthought ultimately, unless another team gets up and wins 12 ball games, and you may split it, and you still get in as a wild card, like whatever it may be. Like, forget that. If you want to really talk about this team being a Super Bowl contender and being able to be one of the top AFC football teams, we got to quit talking about playing in one-score games, like bragging about being in one-score games. Boy, we got a great record in one-score games. Well, you lost a one-score game last night, and that wasn't one to brag about.
Let's be positive, guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm fine with it. Whatever, however they want to approach it. Tyler, it's just one of those where, like, at some point, the conversation, the expectations, the responses to mediocre football has to change. Like, even if you do mediocre football your way into a 6-2 record, like, acknowledge it's mediocre football. Like, quit sweeping things under the rug. There's nothing worse in sports, in all of sports, and it happens quite often. But you watch teams do things and win games, and you know, like, that product is not going to win. Because what you got to do is what you're doing as a football team, is it good enough to win against four playoff caliber teams in a row? Boom, 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 boom. Four. You got to beat four of the best teams in football to win a Super Bowl. And if what you're doing is not going to allow you to win those four games, then you should be out of your mind, frustrated and disappointed and exhausted from searching for answers to how do we get there. Not talking about, well, we won a one-score game, we didn't turn the football over, we didn't do this, we didn't do that, everything's fixable. No, the reality of it is we've got a – let's not even talk about earlier in the season. You got a three-game span here where the football that we're watching the Texans play is not going to win a playoff game. Period. Yeah.
Listen.
So act like that.
I'm going to tell you this. What has got me as I sit here and think about it is – all right, the Texans went on the road to play against, walking in through after 8 weeks, the 15th best team in the AFC. They walked in there. They had a 100-yard rusher. Joe Mixon for the fourth straight game went over 100 yards. They had a 100-yard receiver in Tank Dell. They didn't allow any points in the first half. And they tied the turnover battle. And, Clint, their margin of error in this game against the 15th best team is – they're down by 11 with 40 seconds left, and they did all of that. I didn't think their margin of error was that slight coming against a team like the Jets. Like that. Like when I say it out loud, I did, like Sunday when they play the Lions. I mean, next Sunday, it feels like they have got to play an A plus game.
Zero margin of effort, margin of error.
Zero.
Like CJ has to be perfect under that
perfect.
Level of pressure. Like the that's the thing with this team, and I think this has been obvious all year long. The margin for error has been razor thin from jump. They just, again, they're well coached, and when I say well coached, it's culture and foundation and like whether we like the answer or not, they typically have answers. You know that there's. Big picture, they're one of the better coach teams in terms of attention to detail, things of that nature. And so, that'll win some of those games. But boy, the second that CJ's not perfect and doesn't hit John Metchie on that underneath route for a touchdown, it's a difference in the game. You know, the second that CJ misses Tank Dell on first and 10 for an 8-yard gain, now you can't get out. Now the drive is stalled and you're kicking a field goal. So that is the reality of who they are right now is they're talented, and when things are going their way, they can put a really impressive product on the field. But the minute that there's some adversity, it's razor thin.
Yeah.
The margin for error, and the minute they make an error, the minute Kyme Fairbairn misses a couple of field goals, it's like, uh-oh, we're down two scores.
All right, let's get to Tyler's best bets. We'll do that coming up here as we wind down here. But before we get to that, are you getting concerned about what you're seeing from C.J. Stroud? You talked about razor-thin handling the pressure. Are you starting to get concerned about that R word with C.J. Stroud? We'll discuss.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that next?
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Home Run Dugout in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
CJ to pass, but he's immediately bottled up, fumbles the ball, and the Jets have it. They have it at the 17-yard line. Coming out of the pack with it, it's Will McDonald. We talked about him. He makes a big play here with a fumble recovery as the Texans get great penetration down to the Jet 11, but cough it up.
Yeah, that was a tough go of it there as CJ Stroud, as he fumbles there, and that was a big play there. They were in the red zone. They were in scoring territory. At the very least, a field goal. Sorry about that, John. At the very least, a field goal.
Fumble?
Yeah, they fumbled there, and that was a tough go of it. It just kind of felt like moments like, man, it may not be their night when you just see things like that. And I want to get your thoughts, the people's thoughts, 713-572-4610. And I think, you know, these are the moments, especially with you, Clint, and your history and your background playing quarterback in the NFL, coaching quarterbacks, young guys. Are you – and the people there, hell, you ain't got to be Clint. You can jump in as well. With what you're seeing, are you growing concerned? Are you starting to get concerned – potentially of regression, bad habits, whatever it is that you didn't think you would see from CJ, dealing with this pressure, dealing with this constant adversity over the last several weeks, are you starting at any point to start to get concerned about how this is affecting CJ right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, are you seeing things where his...
Yeah.
Where it's just like, obviously some missed throws, but you're seeing potential, as we said, bad habits starting to develop, fundamentals starting to go by the wayside, footwork.
Yeah, all of it, all of the above. The thing, you know, we talked about this in the offseason, Ron, and I warned people about it. Like, the C.J. Stroud and the Texans offensively, they're not going to duplicate what they did last year. Like, that was an unbelievably, ridiculously successful year from a young quarterback, right? And so I felt strongly that there was going to be a little bit steeper of a climb this year for the offense, obviously with the better schedule. But I thought that they would that teams would have film on them, and it would be a little different struggle or challenge to continue to play that level of quarterback and that level of offense. But I never thought that we'd be sitting here watching an offense that just keeps doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. I never thought we would be in a spot where this offensive line, given the investment in it, that is there across the board, that we'd be watching game after game after game of some of the worst pass protection that we've seen at the NFL level. I expected this year to be different. I expect there to be more touchdown passes and probably more interceptions as well, kind of thing. I never expected it to be like this. And the reality of it is you're going to get him hurt. Like, it doesn't matter how strong he is, doesn't matter how good he deals with the pressure or how bad he deals with, like, they're living in that chaos every Sunday afternoon. It's impossible to win, and it's impossible to stay healthy. And then you get into, like, beyond that, you get into the bad habits that you're talking about, where right now, like, one of the guys that's got the toughest job on the team is Gerard Johnson. Like, Gerard Johnson's got to work so much more detail, technical, mechanical work right now, just to limit how much CJ backslides from a mechanic standpoint. Like I've actually seen it myself. Like, I watched Brandon Allen, who's been in the league now for like 8 years as a backup quarterback. I think he's in San Francisco right now. He's been in this system a lot. Really, really good career backup player. And I watched him in college just get his teeth knocked in, and watched him for two or three games just falling out of throws. And so his ball starts dying. He's not as accurate.
Well, then I
watched Dan Enos take over at one of the best quarterback developers I at the college level. He goes in there, and he's I watch him in practice, man. Watch him making him finish every throw, hitting him with bags, and really focusing on the mechanics and the detail, the technical work. And man, all of a sudden, everybody wanted to write him off. He's done. He can't play. Bench him. Yada yada yada. And then all of a sudden, boom! He came back and he started throwing the ball the way that we had seen him throw the football before. But the toughest job right now for the Texans is Gerard Johnson doing everything in his power to make sure that C.J. Stroud taking the beating that he's taking doesn't backslide into where he's gun-shy.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing that. He's missing throws he shouldn't miss.
I was going to say, he's missing throws. And you talked about the one with Dalton Schultz last week that he missed him by, what did you say, 10 yards up?
Yeah,
He missed John Metchie. I mean, wasn't even close. I think he missed Tank on a couple of occasions.
The fourth down that we talked about against Green Bay, mm-hmm. if you watch that play, I mean, he threw it because he was getting heated up. He didn't even try to get through his progression. If you watch that play, John Metchie on the backside comes open on a bang route, bang eight route. Like he should have got through his progression and made that throw. But because he'd been getting hit all game long.
He's trying to get it.
He just gets it out of his hand, and that's the fear that I warned people about when he was under all this pressure. Oh, shut up, man. CJ's doing this. CJ's doing that. I'm like, all right. At some point in time, it's going to take a toll on the young fella. And if it doesn't hurt him, it's definitely going to affect his mentality and his approach to the game. And so, yeah, look, I'm going to be honest with you. If I were Gerard Johnson, right now, CJ, we ain't resting. I know you're sore, right? But between now and let's say Wednesday, right? Between now and Wednesday, we're going to work. We're going to work 30 minutes a day, whatever it may be. And it's going to be short and quick, but there's going to be an emphasis on you stepping into your throw, finishing every one of your throws. We're going to make sure that you're getting mental reps and physical reps of dealing with that pressure in your face and finishing your throws. Because right now, it's affecting him. We've got to get him beyond that. We've got to get him back into what we've seen C.J. Stroud be before, which is mad pressure in his face, and he's still making crazy throws. Got to focus on that this bye week. Not bye week, but this extended bye week. Mini bye week.
And he is holding that thing. He's holding it longer than he did last year. It's just
– Sure.
And we said it. We said in the offseason, and, you know, when teams get tape on what it is that you do – he does, the offense does,
yep.
And they figure out, all right, how do we attack this now that we've seen it and we're starting to see they have clearly developed a game plan to this. All right, as we are here live, we'll get to Tyler's best bets, T-Mills' best bets here in just a second. Want to thank everybody here who has helped us put this together out here, our great promo staff who was always helping us, assisting us to get this thing going and helped us with the prizes that we hooked everybody up with. All the listeners who've come out and had a good time and enjoyed things and made this a fun time. Our engineer, Matt, who has continued to help us stay on the air as well as help us on YouTube and Twitch as well. And then Tyler at the station doing all the hard work there to keep us rolling. And the great staff here, the great bartenders, the great waiters and waitresses. They've done – yes, you, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. We got Red in here in the building. Yes.
Ginger Nation.
Ginger Nation in the building. We do appreciate you guys.
A little bitty head.
To helping everybody here, and we've had a great time. We'll be here three more different times on Football Fridays coming up the rest of the year. So come on out and hang out with us here in Katy at Home Run Dugout. All right, Tyler, let's hear your best bets because – you've been on this 50%. I ain't gonna lie to you here of late. Let's hear your best bets.
Yeah, last night went 3 for 6 once again. That's the third time this week. Know what you want? Want to be above that 50%? But I do have 4 best bets for you on a Friday evening. All NBA plays. We got several NBA games going on. Been thriving, to be honest. So for the most part, NBA wagers. Here lately. So. 4 bets for you real quick. First one, I got Nuggets +4 tonight. Secondly, I got the Pelicans also with some points, +2. I'm taking your Lakers, Ron, and LeBron -8.5. I teased that line down a bit. I believe last I looked, they're 9 or maybe even 10-point favorites, but tease that down to about 8.5. And then last one, I'm on an over. I think a lot more points will be scored in this one. Knicks and Pistons over 217.5 points tonight. Lock them in, win some money. Let's go into the weekend.
Need to clarify something real quick. That Pelicans bet +2 is actually a first half bet.
Yes. I didn't mention that. It's probably important. Thank you.
Yeah, the Nuggets one I'm thinking about. They're on the road in Minnesota, Anthony Edwards gets himself going. We'll see how that goes. I do like your Lakers play as long as Dick doesn't get going.
Who?
Grady Dick, excuse me. Grady Dick had a career-high 30 in his last.
Hell of a name.
Yeah, it is, man. He's a Kansas product. Felt bad for his mom. She had a perfectly normal last name until she ran into Grady's dad.
I feel like
was an All-American basketball player at Iowa State. And her last name, what Dick then?
I'm more concerned with the white guy Grady. Like, real, I mean, that like you could play in that world he's got to live in, and with that last name, and boy, he could. I mean, if
he's comfortable.
Know, unless he's bringing something to the table, it'd be tough.
Grady's comfortable. I don't know if you remember, he had the all sequence burgundy suit at the draft. He feels himself. That's a last name. I mean, you've just dealt with that from the jump, right, Grady Dick.
Unless he's like married or has a consistent one right now, like living that single life in the world that he's living in, there's some expectations that come with that.
Grady Dick?
That's my deal. I can only relate to the athlete world. He's living in a basketball world, and as a white dude with that last name, like boy, that he better be bringing a little thump to the. You know what I mean?
I am certain that Big has probably Big has come in front of his last name.
Yeah, girl.
Okay, well, there you go. Have you seen the guy in the shower?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm guessing that's probably something there.
I like Nuggets +4, by the way. And then that's my best bets pick right there. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Tyler, best bet of the weekend, them Aggies at South Carolina.
Perfect. You're on it.
I've already locked in, so Tyler can't tell me he doesn't have no money left.
I got you, bro.
Shout out to Carmen Dick, Grady's mother. That had to be a deal breaker when she met Scott. She had to at least entertain. I mean, Scott, like a guy like that, you have to really have game and really be on it with your last name Dick to reel her in. Like I'm gonna go by my name's Carmen. I'm gonna move to Carmen Dick. Like that's what I'm gonna go with. Sometimes you think Sterner and Hughley's a tough one. But,
I would imagine she gladly took it. Relax, the last name.
She took it all. She did. All right, coming up behind us, Texan All Access, as they react to the loss in New York. Hall of Famer John McClain joins the fellas as well. And then from 10 to midnight, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton. Give Sean and Pat a game. And Area 45 tonight, 10 to midnight. Listen up as they will, I'm sure, let the Texans have it themselves as well, coming off that loss. We're live and local till midnight right here on Sports Radio 610. For everybody here at Home Run Dugout, everybody who took a hand to keeping us here and making this happen, we appreciate you. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I'm Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. And those guys deserve brain. Bobby Slowick has gotten worse and worse. It just looks lost.
They do not deserve brain.
Did I say brain?
For
no.
The record, they don't deserve that this week.
They deserve brain, too. Yes, they do. Everybody deserves a little brain.
No matter what the record
But they deserve – no, yeah, man. Bobby Dempster needs it. They deserve – maybe that might help him.
Maybe that's the problem,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, man. Maybe they need to get a little nasty. I'm sorry, guys. It's Friday. I've had a margarita.
Hey, kill me.
And the world's all right with me.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.